Matthew chapter 26 in your Bibles, please. Matthew chapter 26. And if you found it, if you're willing and able to stand with me in honor of God's word, we'll read these verses, Matthew 26. This passage of scripture is also found in, or this story is also found in Mark 14, which we'll reference here in a little bit. So if you want to, if it would help you to get there as well. And then Luke 22 and John 18. All right, so, but we'll be in Matthew chapter 26 this morning. With Resurrection Sunday coming up, I believe, if I'm doing my math right, 3 weeks? 4 weeks. Somebody help me out with that here in just a second. But anyways, it's coming up 4 weeks. Yes, it's coming up. And with that in sight, we are once a week going to be looking at some scripture regarding things either having to do with or leading up to those days of Christ's crucifixion and resurrection on the cross. Today we'll be in Matthew chapter 26 and verse 31. The Bible says, "Then saith Jesus unto them, All ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. Peter answered and said unto him, Though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. Jesus saith unto him, Verily I say unto thee, this night, before the cock crow, thou, Peter, shalt deny me thrice. Peter said unto him, Though I should die with thee, this sounds good. This is commendable spirit here. Though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise also said all the disciples." Let's pray and we'll get into it this morning. Our God in heaven, Lord, I pray you'd help me as I preach your word. I thank you for this day. Thank you for your house. Thank you for all who are here. And Lord, we are glad to see one another, to fellowship, sing praises to your name. Lord, and we're grateful to get in your word as well. But Lord, as wonderful as it is that we are here, it's pointless without you. We cannot do this without you. And so, Lord, I pray that you would help us today as we get into your word, that you would open our hearts and our minds that we have for us and meet the needs that are in here. There's different needs. And Lord, only you can meet them. And I pray you'd help us to understand that truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you so much. You can be seated. The title of the message today is, we cannot do this without God. Cannot do this without God. Peter went through a lot of educational lessons in his life. You could call them oftentimes the school of hard knocks for Peter, for sure. One of the chief tools in Satan's arsenal in developing overconfidence is developing overconfidence in the life of the believer. Sometimes we think we can do this without God. I mean, we wouldn't say that out loud, but our actions speak louder than our words. Oftentimes we will attempt our trials and our struggles and our difficulties in our lives without even consideration of prayer, without even consideration of going to the Word of God to look what God has to say about the situation. And maybe the Word of God doesn't have anything to say about that specific situation, but it certainly does have a lot of verses that have to do with our encouragement, our trust in the Lord, our strength on God. And I think about Peter. This man spent 3.5 years with Jesus Christ. He was a God-called and God-gifted man. But as you know, if you know anything about Peter, he was a man who was very sure of himself. He was confident in the fact that in this situation, even if others would deny Jesus Christ, Peter said, I'll be the last man standing. I will not deny you. I won't. And God's word warns us against this very attitude of self-confidence. 1 Corinthians 10:12 says, "Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he what? Fall." I think it's an important lesson for us to learn. We understand that while we can do all things, we can do all things only through the Lord Jesus Christ who strengthens us. Philippians 4:13. Amen? I don't know what it is that you need to do. I don't know what it is that you need God's strength in. You can do it, but you can only do it through His strength. You can't do it without God. You can't do it without God. What is it? Is it a work situation? Is it a spiritual struggle? Is it sin in your life? Is it a problem within your family? You can't do it without God. And Peter said, I can do this. Jesus, I can. I'm not going to deny you. I got this. And he didn't, did he? In Matthew 26:33, we also the verse that parallels this as well as in Mark 14:29. In Matthew 26:33, Peter answered and said unto him, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. How many times have you said, I'm not going to do that? I'm not going to do that again. And again. How many times have you come to the altar and said, God, I'm done. I'm not going to go back to that sin. I'm not going to go back to that attitude. I'm not going to go back to that situation. Peter said, I'm not doing this, Jesus. Jesus had just told his disciples, he had just said, he's quoting actually Zechariah 13:7 says, smite the shepherd and the sheep shall be scattered. Jesus had just told his disciples that they would all be offended. You will be offended. Now listen, if Jesus says something, mark it down. He's not wrong, okay? Right? He's not going to be wrong. And so he just told his disciples that they would all be offended, and he just told his disciples that they would all forsake him. He singled out Peter, which happened often, and told him especially that he was Satan's special target. And Peter states these words, not so, Lord. In other words, you're wrong, Jesus. Now, I know he didn't say that. He may as well have. No, that's not happening. He compared himself to others. Matthew 26:33, Mark 14:29. Though all men should be offended. Even though anybody else might be offended, he compared himself to others. Which, by the way, the moment we begin to think that we're better than, or the moment we begin to think that we're unlike anyone else, any other individuals, you're delusional. Right? I'm not better than anybody in this room. I'm not better than anybody in this world. Each of us are sinners. And if you're saved, you're only saved by grace. Amen? We're all robed in the flesh. We all possess a carnal nature. The Bible tells us not to compare ourselves amongst ourselves. In fact, in 2 Corinthians 10:12, I think about the Pharisee in Luke 18:11 who stood up and he prayed within himself, God, I thank thee that I'm not like other men are. That I'm not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or then he points somebody out. He says, even as this publican, God, thank you. Peter said, even though everybody else is going to be offended, Jesus, not me. I got this. That could be the title of the lesson today. I got this. No, I don't. Peter's second statement. The second statement was that he would never be offended. How many of you ever heard somebody, your parents tell you, never say never, right? Never be offended. Anytime we think that we would never do something, we need to remember that Noah probably never believed that he would be a drunk. David undoubtedly never believed he'd be a murderer or an adulterer. And these two men were great men of God. These two men were men who God used in great ways, but they still erred. And if they can, I can as well. So Mark 14:29 is the parallel verse to Matthew 26. verse 33, where Mark 14:29 says, "But Peter said unto him, although all shall be offended, yet will not I." So Peter, I mean, his boastfulness here, he states, I will not be offended. Peter had good intentions. He did. He made a brave resolution. It should be our goal as Christians to stand. It should be our goal as Christians. And listen, there's no nobler place to stand than at the side of Jesus Christ. In fact, that's exactly what Scripture commands us to do in Ephesians 6:13, and having done all to stand. But I can't stand by myself. I can't do it without Christ. And we might even be familiar with the great hymn we like to sing, right? Stand up for Jesus. There's another song, Stand for Jesus, Don't Be Ashamed. The words to that song, by the way, Stand Up for Jesus, they were based on the dying words of a man, Dudley Atkins Team. He was a preacher in Philadelphia. And this man was mortally injured in a farming accident. And he's remembered for what he said on his deathbed. He said, "Now, Father, I am ready. Father, help them to stand up. Tell them, let us all stand up for Jesus. Let us all stand in Christ. Let us all stand in prayer, having no other claim than His righteousness, that Christ may be glorified forever." And as a result of his statement there, the words were written, stand up for Jesus. Ephesians 6:13 says this, "Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to what? Stand." So then it says in verse 14, "Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness." And that ought to be our desire to stand. We ought to encourage others to stand by God's word. But we should consider the attitude that we have, the spirit in which we make an announcement like this. I mean, God desires for us to do so without question. But Peter, when he made this statement, he didn't say, I'm going to stand for Jesus out of a humble, approach and attitude. He's being prideful about this. I got this. I can do this. Listen, it's good to stand. It's good to have a desire to stand. I have a feeling that we have some teenagers in our church who want to go to public school and they want to take a stand. They want to do right. It would be a good time for a couple of our teenagers to say amen there. All right. They want to do right. I have a feeling we have some people in our church who want to take a stand at work. They do. They desire to do right. And for some, I mean, this is where it's really hard. You want to do right in your family when no one else wants to do right. You have that desire to do so, but you're not going to do it on your own. You can't do that without Christ. You can't. You need Him. You need to spend time with Him. You need to be in His Word. You need to be in prayer. You need to get to know Him. If I'm going to stand with Christ, then I better be with Christ. I better spend time with Christ. I better get to know Him. I better be faithful to His house. If I'm going to get to know Him, I better be faithful to His Word and reading His Word and in prayer if I'm going to get to know Him. I can't stand for Christ if I'm not with Christ. And if I'm not with Christ, then I can't stand for Christ. So it's good to have that desire. Proverbs 27 verse 1 says, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." James 4:13 gives us the same idea. "Go to now, ye that say, do today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city, continue there a year, and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away." We don't know what a day may bring forth. This could be the last day. What are you going to do with it? Peter stated he would stand with Christ. And then and look at Luke 22, if you would. Save your place there in Matthew. Look at Luke 22, in verse 33. He went on to declare that, I mean, to the end, this is going to happen. Matthew gives us the same idea, but I want you to look at Luke 22, verse 33, where it says, "And he said to him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee both into prison and to death." To the end. that even meant, if it meant giving his very life, he would not deny the Lord, he was saying. He said, Lord, I'm ready to prison, even to death. Now listen, don't get me wrong. Peter was a man who really loved Jesus. No question about it. He truly loved Jesus, and he declared himself willing to make an ultimate sacrifice for his sake. And I'm not saying he was lying. I'm not saying he wasn't serious. I believe he meant every single word of what he said. He had heard Jesus say, greater love hath no man than this, than that a man laid down his life for his friends, and he was ready, he said, to do this very thing for Jesus Christ. And although the emphasis is on Peter, because he spoke up first, which he normally did, both Matthew and Mark tell us that all of the other disciples echoed Peter's words. Now, I don't want to get James and John off the hook here. I know John was the beloved disciple. They were known to speak up a time or two about some things as well. So I don't want to let them off the hook here any. But I mean, it says here that the other disciples were right there with Peter. They echoed Peter's words. John 15:13 says, greater love hath no man than this, than that a man laid down his life for his friends. Peter says, I want to do this. And the other disciples did too, both Matthew and Mark. Both the books tell us that they were all in on this. Ask yourself this question, would I be willing to die for Jesus? No, I think we'd all be like, yeah, no problem. Of course. Would you be willing to give your life rather than deny Jesus Christ? I mean, we know others have done so. I think if we went around the room, we'd find people would say, I would desire to die pleasing Jesus rather than live in shame having denied him. But as we will see in Peter, as we know in Peter, our flesh can let us down. How many of you ever read the book, Fox's Book of Martyrs? It's quite interesting. There's a lot there that is a good reminder. I know it's history. I know it's written by men. I know it's not something that you can definitely say everything about it is true. I don't really see a whole lot of reason to deny or reject much of it, though. But it gives hundreds of accounts of persecution and death suffered by people who stood for Jesus Christ unflinchingly throughout the centuries. Now, some of those individuals, we can't say that every single one of those were saved because of the you find out some doctrine things that they might have believed, but I think as a whole, as a majority, these people who were saved, born-again believers, were willing to stand for Christ and stay true to their faith even though their life was threatened. Peter would fulfill his promise ultimately. At this point, Peter let Jesus down. At this point, he said, I'm not going to deny you. And Jesus said, yes, you will. And he did. But eventually, Peter would give his life. And he would later die for Christ. Although no reliable source says so, it's been traditionally held, actually, that Peter was crucified upside down at his own request because he felt himself unworthy to die in the same manner as Jesus did. I don't know, but I know this. In these dark hours when Jesus was arrested, Jesus went to trial, Peter feared for his life. He would not keep that bold statement that he made because he couldn't do it without Christ. He couldn't do it on his own. It's a sober reminder for us that anything that we believe we ought to do or think we should do, we can't do it without Christ. You can be faithful to church. You can be here every Sunday. Let's say you're here every Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, and let's say that you are. You can still do all of those things without Christ, so to speak. You know what I'm saying? You can have the wrong heart, the wrong attitude. It'd be a lot better to do things with Christ. Be victorious, to be effective, to be impactful in our lives. You can go soul winning. You can go soul winning every day of your life. You can go knock on doors every single day, and yet you can still do so with the wrong spirit and the wrong attitude. You got to do things with Christ, because if you don't, you're eventually going to quit. So am I doing what I'm doing? You might be faithful in what you're doing, but you got to answer the question, am I doing this with Christ? Am I doing this as though I'm walking with Christ? I'm doing this in the power of Christ. I'm doing this remembering that I'm serving the Lord and I'm I'm close to him and I want to please him with my life, or am I doing this out of habit, out of ritual? Because if that's what you're doing, you're going to quit and you won't be faithful. Matthew 26, 41 says, watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is what? Weak. So we see his statement here. I mean, he was willingly boastful. But then we see he was waveringly boastful. Look at Matthew 26, verse 33 again, back in our text. The Bible says, Peter answered and said unto him, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. And Jesus had something to say about that. Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, that this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. He's challenged. His statement, his intention to stand with Christ and follow him to death is challenged. But Peter, later on, says that Peter followed Christ afar off. Peter, James, and John, they were like, I mean, you got the 12 disciples and then eventually 11, but Peter, James, and John were the inner circle. They were the three that seemed to be closest to Christ. And Peter's one of the three, right? But here in our passage and other passages, it tells us that he began to follow afar off. And instead of drawing nearer to the Lord, he followed afar off. The farther we get from Christ, the more prone we are to do things and say things that we never intended to do. We've got to be close to Christ. Mark 14, 50 says this, and they all forsook him and fled. They all forsook him and fled. Imagine that. In the darkest hour of Jesus Christ, the Bible says that his disciples, whom he'd been spending over 3 years with, they forsook Jesus. That's sad. That is a very sad statement right there. It's a heart-rending thing when a person forsakes a close earthly relationship. Imagine what Jesus felt by the men whom he was closest to, whom he had devoted 3 years of his life as a mentor to, betrayed him. Imagine how he felt. His first command, what was his first command to them? Do you remember? Anybody remember what his first command to them? Let's just pull the audience, see if anybody can think about it. What was Christ's first command when he first met most of his disciples? What, two words. Follow me. Follow me. That's the first command. Stated clearly. And even after the disciples had joined himself to them, he continued to tell them to follow him. And this was repeated over and over again. And in lessons that he taught about other people and things like that to continue following him. He said to them one time in Matthew 16, 24, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. And we've got to realize as believers this morning that what Jesus wants from us, what's God's will from our life? I can't tell you every detail, but I can tell you this. He wants you to follow him. He wants you to follow his word. You do that, he'll place in your life what God wants in your life. If you'll just simply follow. If you'll be faithful to what you do know, he'll place in your life the answer to what you don't know. As in, if you're focused, listen, if my eyes are set on Jesus Christ, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of my faith, if my eyes are set upon him and I want to follow him, I don't, you know, let's say years ago, I don't know who I'm going to marry. I don't know what I'm going to do with my life. But Jesus says, follow me and I'll show you. And so I stay faithful to what I know. What do I know? He says, be faithful to church. That's what the Bible teaches. It does. It teaches to be faithful to church. I didn't make it up. That's what the Bible says. Be faithful. So I'm faithful to him. The Bible says, read my word and pray. I do so and I'm following him. And he says, stay away from the things of this world. So I do so and I'm following him. These are things that are clearly God's will for my life and every Christian's life. When we tell others about Jesus. Am I wrong? Is that what the Bible teaches, Christians? The Bible teaches those things, right? If I'm wrong, I need somebody to correct me later on after church, because that's what I've been taught my whole life and that's what I believe. I'm going to need somebody else to tell me where it says those things are wrong, because I'm pretty sure that's what it says. And if I don't do those things, guess what? This is rocket science right here. Ready? I'm not following him. I'm not beating anybody up. Don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to throw a guilt trip on anybody. But just Joe Schmo knows to follow Christ means be faithful to his house, read his word, pray, tell others about Jesus. There's other things, give, things like that. Stay from the things of this world. Those are things that which would be following Christ. And if I'm not doing those things, Joe Schmo. If Joe Schmo's not doing those things, is he following Christ? The answer would be no. Yes, he is. How? How is he following Christ? Somebody needs to tell me, how is he following Christ if he's not doing what Christ taught him to do? So Jesus told the disciples, follow me. And if I'm going to follow Christ, if I'm going to do those things, this is where it's wonderful. Then he shows me what he wants me to do. And I keep doing this. Like, I want you to picture, like, God, like, you know, taking my wife, who I don't know who I'm going to marry, and placing it right in front of my face because I'm following Christ. He places her right there. And the job I'm going to have, right there. Why do you know that's God's will for your life? Because I'm following Christ. And he showed me. You guys are like, wow, that's amazing. I know, it's so amazing, isn't it? Follow Christ and he'll show you what he wants you to do. But the disciples forsook him and fled. His first command to these men had been to follow me, and they ceased to do so. As believers, we've got to realize that what Christ wants from us is to follow him. John 10:27. Will you look at it, please? John 10:27. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Will you read these words out loud with me? John 10, verse... Let me make sure I got it right. Yeah, verse 27. Ready, begin. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. They follow me. It's good to remember that one of the greatest testimonies that we can show to the world is that we're followers of Jesus Christ. Bible tells us, 1 Peter 2:21, to follow in his steps. But Matthew 26:58, back in our text, says this, that Peter followed him afar off under the high priest's palace and went in and sat with the servants to see the end. John 18, I'm going to read this, see if you want to look at it, you can, but John 18, verse 15, tells us this part of the story. And Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple, which would be John. That disciple was known unto the high priest and went in with Jesus into the palace of the high priest. But Peter stood at the door without, not close, but without. John went into the palace of the high priest. Peter stood at the door without. Then went out that other disciple that was which was known unto the high priest and spake unto her that kept the door and brought in Peter. Listen, we are often learning from these disciples and from people in the Word of God what they did wrong. And it is true that he did not stay close to Jesus during this event in his life. It's only fair to mention this. Peter did make the right decision to follow. While others forsook, others fled, and others continued to flee, Peter did make the right decision to follow. And John followed as well. When you make a decision that takes you out of the company of Jesus Christ, sometimes you're putting yourself in the company of others who are not in the company of Jesus Christ. Are you with me? When you make the decision to not follow Christ, you're putting yourself in the company of others who also do not follow Christ. And the Bible tells us on many occasions how important it is that we surround ourselves with the right company. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but the companion of fools shall be destroyed. Corrupt communications, or evil communications, corrupt good manners. We could go on and on about that. I think about Lot. Lot started out with Abraham. Lot started out doing right. He started out in all those things. And when you remember where Lot started out and where he ended up and how he got there, it was based on the decision to pitch his tent towards Sodom. It was based on his decision to get away from the things that God had set up for him to have. Go to Matthew 26, look at verse 69, please. This is his denial. Peter said, I'm not going to deny you, though all men shall deny you, not me. Jesus said, yeah, you will. You'll do it three times. Peter said, not so, Lord. Matthew 26, verse 69. Now Peter sat without in the palace, and a damsel came unto him, saying, Thou also was with Jesus of Galilee. She came up and she said, you're also one of them. You're one of those Jesus followers. That's what she was saying. But he denied before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest. No, I'm not. I'm not. 71, and when he was gone out into the porch, he said, I don't want this accusation. I'm going to go somewhere else. And when he was gone out into the porch, another maid saw him and said unto them that were there, this fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth. He's one of them. He's one of those Jesus followers. They're all wanting Jesus to be crucified. And they're all saying, look, there's one of them. Peter said, nope. And again, he denied with an oath, I do not know the man. And after a while came unto him that stood by. And after a while came unto him they that stood by and said to Peter, surely, we're confident of this. You can't deny this. Surely thou also art one of them. You know how I know, Peter? For thy speech bewrayeth thee. Not only do I think you're one of them because I saw you with him, but I think you're one because you sound like him. You're one of those Jesus followers. You talk like him. Your speech, he's affected you. When you spend time with Jesus, he affects you. He changes you. You're different. And it's good. Listen, it's good if the world sees you as different. That's a good thing. Don't be ashamed of Christ. Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Be proud of the fact that you're a child of God. It's interesting that people recognized Peter for having been with Jesus. Why? Why? Because every time they saw Jesus, Peter was close by. This was a wonderful testimony. This is a good thing. And it's a wonderful thing if the world associates you with Jesus Christ. It's a wonderful thing if the world associates you with his church and the things of God. And that's what happened later on in Peter's life. This is long after Christ had died and risen again. And Peter and John are in the book of Acts, first century church. And the Bible says, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. This time, Peter was proud. This time, Peter's like, I'm glad. They went back rejoicing after being beaten. Because they were beaten for the cause of Christ. The world sees a difference. They ought to see a difference. I love what Peter would later say. We look at 1 Peter chapter 3. Now, again, in this time of crisis, Peter found himself not ready to be associated with Jesus Christ. It was a shameful time for Peter. Fast forward years and years later. You find he learned from this sad incident. He would write in 1 Peter 3:15, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Be ready, always. He wasn't ready at the time, but he is now. Be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is with you in meekness and fear. Sometimes when I see some of the things that Peter wrote, I wonder, did he look back on a certain situation as he was writing this? And maybe a tear comes to his eye. And I wish things would have been different, but maybe a tear of joy. I'm glad I'm not what I used to be. And maybe he's writing with passion. If he were to say it out loud, he could say, listen, will you just please learn from my mistakes? Be ready to give an answer. Don't be ashamed of Christ. Had Peter stayed as close to the Lord as he originally intended, as he stated he would, I'm going to go with you to prison. I'm going to go with you to death, Jesus. He certainly would not have denied Christ, but he thought he could do this on his own. He found self-reliance not enough to enable him to keep the vow he had vowed. So what happens? Look at Matthew 26, verse 75. Jumping forward several verses here. So, actually, we'll read a few verses more. They said, verse 73, surely thou art also one of them, for thy speech bewrayeth thee. Verse 74. So he said, oh, you think my speech shows that I'm a Christian? Well, watch this. Then he began to curse. Then began he to curse and to swear. Does that sound like Jesus now? Saying, I know not the man. And immediately the cock crew. How many times have Christians done this very thing? No, I'm serious. How many times have Christians done this very thing? Just to avoid judgment, what they might consider judgment from other people or ridicule from other people. You know, they want to fit in. So they do their best to fit in. By what they say or by what they drink or by what they wear or whatever. They don't want that criticism. But it's good to be different. So he cusses to be like him. And as soon as he does so, the third denial, immediately the cock crew in verse 75, and Peter remembered the word of Jesus, which said unto him before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out and wept bitterly. He was willingly boastful, then he was waveringly boastful, and now he's weeping bitterly. Listen, here's the truth. Like Peter, all of us will stumble and fall in our walk with Christ. Isn't that true? We will. The Bible states in Proverbs 24:16, for a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again. But what's imperative for us to understand is we've got to realize is that when we fall, we can get up again. And Christ will help you. Why did you fall? Because you tried to stand on your own. How are you going to get up when you let Christ help you stand up? You got to let him. I wonder how many times Peter looked back on his life and remembered falling again and again, failing again and again, literally falling in the water, drowning, not figuratively speaking, literally speaking. Peter or Jesus reached out his hand. Peter said, Lord, help me and save me. And Jesus reached out his hand and pulled him up out of the water. And they walked with Christ back to the boat. We can look to the Bible for a bunch of examples. Of redemption, of Christ bringing people to him. Abraham doubted God, doubted God's promise about a seed, and he joined with Hagar. God gave him, though, later the birth of Isaac. Moses murdered an Egyptian. God led the children of Israel to the promised land. We go on, Samson fell to Delilah, but God still used him. David took Bathsheba, but God used David to do great things later on, prepare the way for the building of the temple. We go on and on. There's a wonderful thing when we look at what God can do for us. And verse 75 says, and Peter remembered the words of Jesus, which said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. Mark 14:72 says the same thing. Luke 22:61 says, and the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. Right there. Boom. Peter says, I'm not with him. You think my speech betrays me? Fine. Listen to me cuss. And he cusses. I don't know him. And the Bible says in Luke 22 that Jesus turned and looked at Peter at that moment. Like, that gives me chills right there. Like, you know. The eyes say it all. Told you you deny me. That Holy Spirit conviction, come on. That whole, you do something, you know, I mean, it's just wrong. You just know God's looking at you. You know he's fixed his eyes upon you. You just feel that Holy Spirit conviction upon you and you just know. And the Lord had heard it all, and whatever was behind the look that Jesus gave, it hit Peter with a tremendous force. And although it was a bitter remembrance for Peter, the word of the Lord worked a wonderful change in his heart. It brought about his repentance, and it brought about his restoration, and it showed him beyond a doubt the folly that Peter had. You can't do anything without me, Peter. You need me. But with me, you can do things beyond your wildest imagination. And not long later, Jesus would die. He would resurrect. Peter still struggled. In John 21, he still struggled. I'm going fishing. Jesus did a lot to restore Peter back to him. Asked him, do you love me? 3 times. Peter said, you know, Jesus, you know I love you. I still love to this day, and I always will, that Jesus asked Peter 3 times, do you love me? It's like every time. That hurts. You know I love you, Jesus. And so he ended with the last words he began with. Follow me. Follow me. Because Peter asked, Jesus. This is after Jesus died and resurrected from the dead, and they went fishing, and Jesus said, have you caught any fish? And they said, no. Jesus said, and they didn't know it was Jesus. And Jesus said, cast it in on the other side, and they did, and wild bunch of fish, and then they realized this has got to be Jesus. Because this has happened before, and they go and they dine with Jesus. Jesus asks those questions. And then after Jesus asks those questions, Peter says, I love you. Peter asks Jesus, what about him? Points at John. Well, what about him? Peter said, don't worry about anybody else. What is that to thee? Follow thou me. And Peter did. And Peter did. Then you have the day of Pentecost. Sometime later, Peter gets up and preaches. And God empowers his preaching. And his words were heard. This wasn't speaking in tongues as the world today talks about. I don't want to get off on this. This wasn't speaking in tongues that the world today talks about, where it's just some gibberish that nobody understands. That's not what tongues was in the Bible at all. Ever. No. He spoke words. People heard it in their own languages. That's amazing. 3,000 people were saved and added to the church that day. Because Peter followed Jesus. Followed him. Why did that happen, Pastor? Because this time he did it with Christ.